So Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. We open our hearts to hear your voice this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that you will light a rocket in us and through us so that we can move with momentum this year. That, Lord Father, we're not going to be stagnant Christians, ones that park in a garage and that's it. Father, I thank you for what you're about to release in people. I thank you for the passions and the burdens that you're going to release upon people this morning. And I pray, Lord God, let us be open to receive it. God, we thank you that you're a good God and that you do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. We give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. We pray all God's people say, amen, amen, amen. So today I was thinking about two things, whether I talk about what vision is or talk about our vision. And so I'm going to talk about our vision and what it looks like real briefly for us and what it would look like for us every day. And then I'm going to talk about the theme for this year, because the theme is different from the vision but aligns with it. So the vision for this house, we should all know it. It's to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who knows that? If you don't know that, that's all right. You know what you're going to do? You're going to write it down and you're going to have it as homework. Because if this is your house, you should have this here and here. And so our vision for this house is to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what does that look like? And so I met up with the team this week. And we just sat around on my table, and I literally asked them, what does it look like for you? In your workplace, in the way that you live life, what does that look for you? And then we unpacked what to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ looks like in our everyday walk, because we have different people around my table, and so different walks of life, this bloody fly. Influence by my hair. But we just went around the table and we just like talked about it, discussed. And the one thing, this has got nothing to do with this. The one thing I realize is that as Jordan, I have some biases in me. In me, there are some biases. And those biases are things that I've been brought up with, things that I've seen in the church, things I've experienced, and things that culture has pushed onto me and I've accepted. And one thing I've realized for this year is that I've got to challenge my biases. And so this is like a true story. I went to the team and I said something to them. I said, I need your opinion because I'm biased. And you know what they told me? I was wrong in my thinking. I had two choices, whether to go, nah, I'm not listening to you because I'm the pastor, or yes, I want to listen because I'm biased in this area. And so I want to challenge us this morning. There are some biases that are already in us that we may not even realize. As soon as they pop up, I want to encourage you, deal with it straight away. Because I believe that God's going to deal with the biases that we have towards people, towards that we, you know how we say, man, we love everybody. But as soon as you come into contact with somebody that you don't like, love is not there. But I'm still Christian, you know, I love them from afar, but God will challenge those biases that you have in you. It could be towards a people group, it could be towards a culture. God's going to challenge your biases this year, because he needs to get rid of it so that you can live pure and holy lives. No one wants to live pure and holy lives. God wants us to live pure and holy lives. And which means we got to be okay with God challenging us, our spirit challenging us on certain things that we thought that was God, but it's not. We thought that was okay, but it's not. And so to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are just some few things I want to touch on. And what that looks like for us is that it's going against the grain. What does it look like to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's about going against the grain. The world has man-made standards, and we're choosing to be people who follow God's way in all things, no matter what. We're prepared, or I'm prepared, and this house is going to be prepared to go against the grain. There's a certain way that people view church as and how church should be, but majority of the time, it's not what the church is in Acts. The church in Acts had power. The church in Acts had miracles and wonders taking place daily, and the church was added by the thousands daily. To say that New Zealand can't do it, or a small church can't do it, I have a problem with that. Why? Because God said he will add to his church. If we keep pursuing him, he will add to his church. And so we're going to go against the grain this year. When it comes to ideas, when it comes to things of this world, they have their own man-made things. Even the church has their own man-made things. But you know what? We're going to push away those man-made things, the Jordan man-made things, and we're going to follow and pursue Jesus throughout it all, no matter what the cost. What else does it look like to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's supporting those in our community, city, and nations. It's supporting our community, city, and nations. This church is not for itself. Are we okay? This church is not for itself. I've never been a person about myself. I know I was when I was growing up. I thought I was the bee's knees when I was a teenager and running up in ministry. I thought I was the man. Then I realized I wasn't the man. I was like everybody else. Because I needed Jesus as much as the person next to me. And it's about serving, supporting our community, city, and nations. We may not agree or believe the same as our community, city, and nations. But our community, city, and nations will get Jesus regardless. We may not agree with it. We might not believe in the same ideas. But our community, city, and nations will get Jesus in our actions and in our speech regardless. What else does it look like? It's about serving our community, city, and nations. So not only are we supporting them, but we're serving them. Christ came to serve and not be served. And so we imitate what Christ did on earth, and that should be our normal. You know how we say, we're called to be extraordinary and all this other extraordinary stuff, but you know what? It should be so ordinary to us. Being in the presence of God shouldn't be supernatural, it should be our natural. Moving in power should be natural, not should be supernatural, like we have to no, God wants us to naturally do it. What did Jesus do constantly? He just naturally did what he had to do. Why? Because he was with the Father constantly. So serving our community is a key thing. That's what we do. That's how we influence. It's showing our community, city, and nation who God has created them to be. The thing about the world that we live in is that people have lost their identity and taken on other identities. Are you guys all right? Maybe a taboo subject, but people have taken other identities. And I'm not just talking about the rainbow community. I'm talking about identities in regards to us trying to be somebody else. Us trying to be like a superstar, but don't realize in the back end, they're terrible people. God has designed us with purpose, and everyone has something significant in them. Jesus is the only way who can unlock that potential in that person. We can't do it. Hills NZ can't unlock potential in people. Only Jesus can. We can't unlock people's purpose in life. Only Jesus can. And so if only Jesus can, we should be giving Jesus to the world. Are we all right? Yeah. And so everything that we say and do represents Jesus Christ. Everything that we say, everything that we do will represent Jesus Christ. And so we're not influencing humanity to be like Hills NZ or be at Hills NZ. We are influencing humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. Hills NZ is not. I have to make that clear. Hills NZ is not the way, truth, and life. Jesus is. I would love for packed out services to the back, hundreds and hundreds of people. But if they only come just to be in a service and not be changed by Jesus, then it's worthless. And so we are going to be a church, and we are a church that has Jesus at the forefront because he is the only way, truth, and life. I can't change somebody's life. Jesus can. I can't heal. Jesus can. I can't bring breakthrough. Jesus can. So why isn't Jesus in the forefront of everything? We preach this Jesus like he's some far away off person on another planet. No, he's with us. And so what this year looks like for me personally and for us as a church is that we're about to be mobilized. Mobilized to be the gospel in our everyday life. I haven't been I hate evangelism, okay? Like when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to the actual word evangelism and what it actually means, is that I hate it. Like, I just don't like conversation with random people. Like, I can do it when I'm in a room, when I know I have to be in a room, and I can do it. But when God tells me to just like do something real random, I feel so uncomfortable. I don't know about you. Yes, I feel uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I was just like, nah, it's not God, that's the devil. Nah, it's not God, that's the devil. You know, like, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody in here, but that's me. Like, that's the devil. Nope. But I just really sense that God wants us to evangelize to people in the marketplace, to people in our everyday walk. That will look different for everybody, because some people shop where I don't shop. But I believe that the supermarket's going to get touched. I believe the malls are going to be touched. I believe the places that we shop with for our clothes and for our stuff that we get will be touched. Why? Because we're going to start influencing humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be mobilized Christians. Not ones that park in a garage and stay there. Stay clean. Get away, world. We're not that. We're going to get down in the dirt like Jesus did. Are you guys all right? So that's influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ, real quick. Something that we can all take on. And I encourage you, if you're listening this morning, and those who are listening later, to go over this message and just like think over it, mull over it, and say, God, what do you want me to do this year? How do you want me to activate this to influence humanity? What does that look like for me? Because there might be something that I didn't say yet, but there might be something in your heart that like, that's where God's pulling me. And so I encourage you to listen to this over and over again until you get this breakthrough in you, like, okay, I know what God wants me to do in this house. And so that's influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our vision. So what is our focus for 2024? So the focus of 2024, I released it last year, and this year is called the Year of Momentum. Everyone say momentum. So momentum is the strength or force gained by motion or by a series of events. So it's strength or force gained by motion, something that is moving, or by a series of events. And the scripture that we have for this year is in Philippians 3. And Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says this. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Who's not perfect? Amen, I'm not perfect. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me. There are some people in here, we need to let go from what was. 2024 may have been a terrible year for you, it may have been a great year for you, or okay with year for you, or a year that you don't even want to talk about, but we need to start forgetting what lies behind. To really obtain what's ahead, we've got to forget what lies behind. I'm not saying pretend to forget. I'm saying, Lord, help me to forget and stop doing those nonsense things that I was doing last year. I'm about to kill this fly. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. Say, I press on. Towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal. When we are pressing on towards the goal, what it's saying is that there is a force that's coming against us. You know when you go to a door and it says press or push? Right? There has to be some movement for you to press. Meaning there's something else coming against you as you press. So if you go up to the door and don't press on the door, what's the door going to do? Nothing. And so when he's saying, I press towards the goal, he's saying, there's going to be a force that's coming against you. There's an enemy out there who's trying to go against you. But even in the moments of that, I press towards. I press on. And so I believe that the things that are ahead of us this year is of significance, of newness, of transformation, and of godly influence. Chris, sorry, can you get me a water? Like a warm water from the thing, please. I'm like real dry. I'm about to die up here. I believe that the things that are ahead of this year for us is of significance, of newness, of transformation, and of godly influence. But there is a part of us, there's a part for us to play that must be of strength and motion. because that's what momentum means, of strength and motion. But what does that mean for us? It means we must be moving. There must be movement. We are not moving backwards because it says that we're going to leave behind and forget what lies behind us. It's about us moving forward towards what lies ahead. For example, imagine riding a bike. Who knows how to ride a bike? Who doesn't? I'm not going to ask who doesn't know how to ride a bike. Okay, but if you imagine you riding a bike, at first you start pedaling slowly, right? You slowly pedal, and the bike moves gradually. Thanks, Chris. And the bike moves gradually. As you continue to pedal consistently, what happens? You pick up speed, right? And so the faster you pedal, the more momentum the bike gains. Yeah, everyone knows a bike? Yep. Now, even if you stop pedaling, even for a moment, the bike keeps moving because of the momentum you build up, right? Has anyone done that? Like, you go real fast, fast, and then it's cruise. Isn't that great? Like, you just cruise. But, and if we build enough momentum like a bike, it will keep moving forward. But there's a big but to the scenario of this example. A big but. Though the bike has enough momentum to go forward when you stop pedaling, it will come to a stop. It may not stop when you're pedaling, but it will eventually stop. The reason why I mention this is that we at Hills NZ, our house, we must not fall in the trap of building enough momentum that we stop pedaling and just go with the motion because it will eventually stop. When we say that this year is a year of momentum, it's meaning we're pedaling regardless. And the reason why I bring this up is because it's the start of the year, right? We're nearly coming up to March, the third month in. Crazy. But many people do this at the start of the year when they make goals for themselves. They start doing something that they didn't do previous year. They start turning up to church often, and they build enough momentum thinking that it will last them to the end of the year. But we all know that the same passion or desires that started us in the year start dying off if we stop feeding it. So even though we're building up momentum like this bike, we can't fall into the trap of like going with the ride because it will eventually stop if we stop pedaling. And this year, I truly believe we've done this previous year, and I've looked back on my life and look at like what was in the last 2 years. I'm like, far, we pedal so hard that we're going so fast, and in that going so fast, I stop pedaling. And then I eventually like think, and I'm like, I eventually reach the end of the year, and I'm like, I missed out on a lot because I stopped pedaling. This year we're not doing that. This year of the year of momentum is like this bike we're pedaling. And even if we grab enough speed, we could let go and just go, whoo, fly for it. No. We're going to keep fueling the passion. We're going to keep reading His Word. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep being diligent in the Spirit. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep being of the Word. We're going to keep going to connect groups. We're going to keep going to church. We're going to keep fellowshipping one another. Why? Because if we stop, momentum stops. Are we okay? We are choosing to follow Jesus regardless of what happens. This is not just a statement that I'm bringing out to you. This is not just a statement. It's a bold declaration for us to keep moving forward. This year, I'm saying to us and I'm declaring over your life that this is your year to move forward. You may have been in a rut last year. You may have been in like, I don't know what about last year. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But this year is going to be the year that you're going to be released into whatever God wants you to do. You could either stand on the side and go, I'm just going to watch, or you can be part of it and build momentum with us. Oh, yeah, okay. So the question I want to ask us, and I want to break this down, how does the year of momentum align with our vision? The one thing that I'm real staunch about this year, and I've already started it, is that everything that we do must filter through our vision. Everything that we do as a church, when it comes to community projects, when it comes to anything we do, It has to come through our vision, which is to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it doesn't do that, we're not doing it. Okay, yeah. And it was funny because at the beginning of the year, I was thinking about stuff, and there's like contracts that we have, and we help out with the community. And I was having a good talk with Marcia a few weeks ago over coffee, and I said to her, I was like, we're going to stop something. We're going to stop doing something because I'm like, that's not actually serving our vision. I only did it as a favor. I was only helping out. But I realized that there was stuff that this church was attached to, that I attached it to, and I was like, that's actually not serving us. It's actually pushing us away from our core. There are things in our life that we're attached to that is pushing us away from the God call in our life, and this year you have to let it go. And I know you might be going, oh, but, you know, it's my family, or, you know, it's this. There's always going to be a reason why you shouldn't let it go. But if it's not your core, then you're taking something away from somebody else's. And so I had to come to that. I had to come to that, Christine. Jordan, stop doing this. And the reason why? Because it doesn't serve our vision. And if it doesn't serve our vision, I'm out of order. Me. I'm out of order. And so what I had to do is like slowly push things to push us back into order. Because when we're out of order, we're literally saying, God, we don't need your mana. When we're out of order, saying, God, we don't need your blessing because I'm finding my own way. And so for me and for this house, we're going, nah, we're coming back to order, Lord. We're coming back into mobilization. We're coming back so that we can work on your kingdom, not just in Hills NZ. We're working for your kingdom so that people can come to know you. And so how does this year of momentum align with our vision? I've got 9 points. 9 points. 9 very important points of what momentum would look like for us this year. And I encourage you to write these down because it's important, and there's scriptures attached to every momentum. So there is impact and reach with momentum this year. There is impact and reach, and I'm going to explain it. Momentum allows the message of the gospel to reach the wider community, city, and nations. As influence grows in the areas we live, work, and study, more people encounter the true gospel. Momentum allows the message of the gospel to reach the wider community, city, and nations. And as we grow in our influence, in our workplace, where we live, in the areas we have influence in, more people will encounter the gospel of Jesus. Because you know what? You are probably the first Bible people are going to read. Before someone comes to Jesus, usually they encounter a person who betrays them, portrays them. And so what kind of Jesus are we displaying to people? Because the Jesus they see through you is the Jesus they encounter first. And so momentum allows this reach. And I want to ask us, do we want to reach our community, city, and nations? I want to. There's a burning desire. And I truly believe there's burning desires in here that, man, I want to reach this group or whatever. I truly believe that. And the verse that I have for us for this is Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light shine before men. Do you hear that? Let your light shine before men, that they may see whose work? Your good work, and glorify your Father in heaven. So they see your good work, but they glorify the Father in heaven. Why would they glorify the Father in heaven when they see your good work? Because the person that you're displaying is Jesus. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there is impact and reach with momentum. What else is there? The second one. There is cultural influence. There is cultural influence. So with momentum, it has the potential to influence and bring change in the world's culture and what it considers normal. Let me say that again. Momentum has the potential to influence and bring change in the world's culture and what the world considers normal. Momentum. Romans 12:2. We know this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. When momentum is built, when we build it in the way that God wants us to build momentum, there's so much potential for us to change the world's culture and the way the world operates. We can talk about a big scale, but let's talk about little scale. You can have so much influence in your workplace that the first thing they do is acknowledge Jesus. Right? Like, we do it at Tour Day Center, right? With birth from mum and dad and birth from Life City Days. And throughout any meeting that we do, prayer starts, prayer ends. And I'm not talking about just having a karakia because it's the cultural thing. No, no, no. We pray to the living God. The people around the table knows we're praying to the living God. And there is influence in that. And what happens when that influence is around the people around the table? That influence multiplies in their life. And so we are going against the grain and we're having cultural influence in people's lives. What the world considers normal, we're saying it's not normal. This is the right way. We are not being changed by culture, but we are ones that bring change through Jesus Christ. So we're not being changed by the culture of this world, but we are bringing change to the culture through Jesus Christ. But we only can bring change through Jesus Christ as if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't say, I want to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we are not influenced first with Jesus. Influence must be here first before it reaches anybody else. Influence must be in here first and then me bringing it to my family before bringing it to you guys. And I know, I understand at times some have children and you do influence in your home. Just keep doing it, even if they don't listen. Just keep influencing. Just keep doing the best that you can do. Just keep chucking Jesus and say, hey man, Jesus loves you. Because you never know, one day they'll come. And that's my prayer for every person in here who has a loved one, who has a spouse, or who has a child or children, they don't know Christ. I'm praying that this year will be the year for your breakthrough. And the reason why I believe that, and the reason why I'm praying for that, is because we have one in our home. My sister will come to know Jesus. And you know what? She may be the black sheep, but that black sheep is going to be such an evangelistic black sheep that it's going to be incredible. Does it scare me? No, it doesn't. Why? Because people are going to come to know Jesus. I can't reach the world, but between each and every one of us, we can. So there's cultural influence. The third one is this. There is community transformation. Who wants to see our community transform? I do, man. Like, people know us, right? The community know us. But I feel like that this year is going to be a new year where the community is going to know us in a new way. It's not just going to be Hills NZ, that church over there. It's going to be the Hills NZ that believe in Jesus and wonderful things happen through them. I want people to experience Jesus on our community days. I want healing to take place on our community days. And I'm not saying we're putting a church service on our community. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying because we'll naturally be influenced by Jesus ourselves, that it will just naturally flow in conversation. So as momentum builds in Hills NZ and we continue following the gospel of Jesus Christ to love, have compassion, and help those in need, the community gets impacted. When we build momentum in this house, we continue to follow the gospel of Jesus to love, to have compassion, and help those in need, the community gets impacted. And the verse that I have for here, and I want you to write this verse down, is Proverbs 19:17. And it says this, if you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord.
Ah, come on now. You're lending to the Lord when you help the poor? God, I'm collecting that in interest. People are like, how do you do this as a church? Like, we're not a big church, but we feed thousands upon thousands of people and have hundreds and hundreds of people, and we do it free. And I'm just like, you know what, Lord? I'm backing up my interest from that far away. I'm saying, Lord, the more that we do it for people who are not just poor physically, but I'm talking about poor in spirit. Anyone who doesn't have Jesus is poor. We don't think like that? Like, anyone who doesn't have Jesus is not rich at all, even though they can have everything in this world. But if they don't have Jesus, they're poor. Because I'm reminded of the story of this rich man who comes to Jesus. Jesus, I did all these things to you. I follow your commandments. I follow all the ways. And Jesus is like, oh yeah, if you want to be my disciple, get rid of your riches. Sell it to the poor. And it was the moment where Jesus turned around and he wept. Because God understands, man. Like, he understands that the riches in life are not the stuff that he wants. The riches is him. Jesus. And I reckon if that particular man, that rich man, if he gave everything to the poor, I believe Jesus would have blessed him 100-fold. But he missed out on the blessing. Why? Because he couldn't give it up. But if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and he will repay you. That's not a maybe. That's a guarantee. And you may not get paid on this earth, but you will be paid. But you know what? I ask God on the side, Lord, pay me on this earth. I don't want to wait for later. No one does that? I was like, Lord, I don't want to wait for later. I want it now. I want the blessing now. I love having conversation with God. I know he will bless us in heaven if we don't receive it here. But I'm just like, can I just have both? You can be all Christian-like, but I want both. I want him to bless my life now and here on this earth. And I want him to bless me up there or wherever. You know, Lord, I just want him to bless me. Because in that blessing, I want to bless others. That's not for me to keep. It's for others. So with momentum, there's a community transformation. With momentum, there's unity and fellowship. This is important. This is for us. This is for the church. Building momentum brings believers together, creating a strong and connected community that shares a common purpose and fellowship. We share a common purpose and fellowship. What's that common purpose? To influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us, talking to us, not neglect our meeting together. As some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Building momentum brings believers together. You know what happens when momentum stops? The church slowly dies. So we need to do it together, building momentum. Because we got to think, every time we come to Sundays together, I want to encourage you with this. Think of ways on how you can motivate somebody else. Lord, I'm going to church now. Give me a word to encourage somebody. Anyone do that? I'm not saying to put your hand up because you might not be like, you know what, I'm not telling you to put your hand up. But I want to encourage us to, like, every Sunday or any time we gather with other believers, especially with our house, go to God before you leave your house and go, God, can you give me something to share to somebody? Can you give me a word to encourage somebody? What that does is that you're saying, Holy Spirit, I'm aware of your spirit that's moving, so let me speak it to somebody's life. We as a church need to do that more often. I said this to the team on Friday, or Thursday, when I had our farewell. And I was, man, I was trying to not cry. But the things that they were saying to me on what I do and what I've done really, really touched my heart. And I said to them this, I was like, it's cool that you guys said all those nice things about me. It's amazing. But I'm like, don't wait for moments like this to tell somebody how amazing they are to you. Don't wait till someone's funeral and say, man, that guy was a godly fella and he did this and he inspired me, but you never told him once when he walked through the pews. When it says, let us motivate one another, not let us motivate one another when we're dying in our funeral. Because we hear it all the time. Like even with family stuff, and people are like, man, this guy was such a great guy and this great this and great that. But he was never there in his life. He never said anything when he was alive. And I'm just like, what would happen if we said it when he was living? I remember, like for me personally, when people encourage me, you know what? They don't know that the encouragement is at the right time, at the right place, saying the right thing, because I was thinking about something else and I was just in the wrong place, mentally, spiritually. And as soon as they send that text, it pushes me back into order. That's what happens when we motivate one another in love and good works. It's because sometimes we're not okay. Sometimes we just need encouragement. Sometimes we just even need a reminder that we're doing well. Like what Pastor Darren said this morning, that God's proud of you. Sometimes we just need a reminder of that. Sometimes we need to just tell our spouse, I love you. Even though they know that we love them, but saying that I love you anyway, even though they know. I get that from my wife. She comes up to me and says, like real random times, you haven't told me you love me. Oh, you know I love you. But you haven't said it. Us guys got to realize women are more affectionate that way. Our love is like through actions. Our love is through like when you do something and we're like, oh, thanks. Thanks for doing that. That's love. They don't have to say, I love you. They just did something. And you're like, oh, thanks. But women operate differently. But imagine if we had that same notion everywhere. You don't know, you saying to somebody across the street, saying, I love you, or God loves you, and say, God loves you so much that he died for you and he's got a purpose for you. You don't know what that statement is going to do in someone's life. Imagine if we did it in this church room and we went to each other and said, man, I just had you in my heart and I was praying for you this week. You don't know what they've been through that week where they're like, oh, man, I was going for a struggle this week and I can't believe you've been praying for me because I needed it. Momentum does that. There is unity and fellowship with momentum. The fifth one, there is generational impact. There is generational impact. As momentum grows in Hills NZ, I want to be clear with this. It is not just for now. It's for the next generation. What we're doing today really matters, and our actions now create a wave of impact for the future. So momentum today, like this year is the year of momentum. It's not just for you and our state this year, but it's for my son when he gets older. It's for my son's son or my son's daughter or when they get older, right? We're building generational impact, not just now. Psalm 78:4. I love this. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and his power and his mighty wonders. Let me say that again. Come on, like this should inspire you to do more for your children when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to God himself, when it comes to church. Because when we make this the first priority in things, you don't know what that's going to do for the next generation. We will not hide these truths from our children. Like this truth of, like my son even asks sometimes, it's like, Dad, why do we have to go to church? Firstly, my first response, because I told you to, and because you're living under my house, or the parents know, eh? Like, you're living under my house. Thirdly, I downpacked what it means to go to church. And then when my son had his birthday, he got all this money, right, from the family, and I said to my son, I was like, son, you got to tithe something. He's like, what's tithe? And so on a car ride with him, I was talking to him what tithing means and what it does when you tithe into this church. And I was telling him, you know the community events that we do? Your tithing helps that. And I said to him, you got all this money, right? You can even sow $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, whatever you feel in your heart, you can tithe. He's like, okay. And I was like, do you understand? He said, I understand. I was like, cool. Go on, did his birthday and everything. And he literally, I forgot I had that conversation with him. And he said, Dad, I'm putting my $10 for my tithing in my bag and I'll put it in the front so I don't spend it. That's teaching the next generation the importance of tithing into a house. Don't hide the truth from our children. We will tell the next generation of his good deeds. But his good deeds come with a cost. And I said to him, I told you, you know, we tithe every week, me and mum, we tithe. He's like, okay. And then when I showed him like what we do as a church, because he's always part of the church events. If we're there, you'll see my son there. And he's in the space like, Dad, can I help? So we get him t-shirts, you know, like we help. Because we're telling the next generation what it looks like to serve Jesus. It's not about here, me being on a pulpit, speaking to you. But it's being the church everywhere we go. There's generational impact when we build momentum. And I want this house to be a house of momentum so that the generation is blessed. Not this generation, but the next generation, the generation after that. Because our God's a generational God. He's not here just to bless us here. He's here to bless the children that is here. But he's also here to bless the children that are not here present. Are we okay? The sixth one. Oh, how long am I taking? I don't know. I'm nearly finished, I think. With momentum, there is overcoming challenges. So this is what momentum does. Momentum provides resilience in the face of challenges. Because we're choosing to trust Jesus in it and trust Jesus through it. Because we are not stopping, but we are going to continue to move forward. So with momentum this year, there will be challenges that we're going to face. And I'm going to speak about one of the challenges, the biggest challenge that we have this year. But it's in God's hands, it's not a challenge at all, but in our hands it is. Momentum provides resilience in the face of challenges. And so when challenges come against us, we're choosing regardless, we're going to trust Jesus. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your what? Own understanding. Seek his will. Not seek Hills NZ's will, not seek the pastor's will, but seek his will in all we do, not of what some we do, in all we do, and he will show you which path to take. So there is a path that God wants us to take, but we have to let him to show us. The seventh one, there is global outreach. So momentum can help Hills NZ reach more people worldwide, influencing individuals, cultures, and communities without being limited to geographical boundaries. This house is going to touch nations. We're going to have a footprint within nations. I believe that this year that God's going to put on my heart and our heart cities to touch in the world. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me where? Everywhere. In Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God's going to put global strategic views in our hearts to pursue this year. There is already one in line, but I believe that God's going to put more in line. He's going to give us a global imprint, even for a small church. I love it. You know why? Because it shows God. So global outreach. I'm up to the second to last one. With momentum, there is spiritual transformation. Building momentum and sharing the gospel can bring spiritual transformation. So when people hear the message of God, it can lead to change in their hearts, bring personal salvation, and commitment to live with and for Jesus. And so this year with momentum, we want spiritual transformation. Not just within us, but within people that we have contact with. There's going to be burdens on us to speak the gospel in all areas of our life. I believe that God's going to shift this heart of fear to us. I'm not ashamed now. Romans 1:16 says this, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Gentiles. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I believe this year is going to be a year where God's going to turn our heart from being ashamed, from being like, oh, I'm scared, I'm worried, to like, you know what? I'm not ashamed anymore. I know Jesus is the way. I know Jesus is the life. I know He is the truth. And so I'm not ashamed anymore. This year is going to be a year of your turning point. If you're willing. If you're willing. So spiritual transformation, the last one, with momentum. With momentum, there's eternal impact. Eternal impact. See, the ultimate aim is to connect people with God through Jesus Christ. Building momentum and sharing the gospel can have everlasting impact, inspiring individuals to embrace faith and encounter life-changing power of God's love. The ultimate aim is for people to connect to Jesus. Eternal impact. So we do community events, we do things for the community, we don't preach the gospel, we don't put on a church service for the community, we just be love and compassion in action. And in love and compassion in action, I believe God's going to give us divine appointments with particular people to impart Him. And in that, there's eternal impact. Why? Because when one person gets changed in the household, slowly the household comes together. Because John 3:16 says what? For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. This year of momentum isn't just an idea that I just plucked out of the air and go, this sounds good. But it's something that I believe that God wants us to do as a house. Build momentum. I believe it's mobilizing the church to be the church. There was a study, I want to be real quick now. There's a study in 2018 about the church. And in this article or the study, it said the church was dwindling. And I was looking at the stats of what was said, and it said only 9% of people who go to church attend church weekly. In context, 1 of 10 people attend church every week. 9 out of 100 turn up to church every week. 1 in 10. It's not even one, it's actually 0.9. So they probably like come and go, I don't know. But 1 out of 10 people come to church weekly. I believe that God is getting His church to be mobilized and put what is important to be important. We're going to sacrifice some things this year. I sacrificed a good job for it. It's going to be real weird. Like for me, myself, like personally, it's going to be so weird not working 9 to 5 in the office with other people. It's going to be super weird. Even with my wife, I'm like, it's going to be weird not seeing us like together. But I'm just like, it's the cost I'm willing to take. It's the cost I'm willing to take to go give up leisure for godly influence. That's what it is. Give up leisure for kingdom work and for kingdom impact. When I weigh those two, leisure and kingdom impact, leisure is nowhere on the board. For us as a house and the church itself, when I say the church, I'm talking about the global church. The church needs to start acting like the church. This house is not a house where you subscribe to, where you pay your tithe on a weekly or monthly or fortnightly basis, and you turn up when you want to. You know how with Netflix, you just turn it on when you're free. Yeah, I can watch TV now. We are not using church like a subscription. Church should not be like a subscription. Church should be the fundamental thing for our lives. Not because church changes us. God changes us, okay? Like, don't be over spiritual about it. But church is so important because Christ is coming back for His bride. And if you're not part of the bride, then what happens? And church is not the building, okay? Church is a community of people. Back in Acts, church was people in homes. They didn't have church like this. The church looks different everywhere. But if we are not putting the power of church and why the church was created, is part of the forefront in our lives and saying, okay, this is mandatory, there's no compromise. See not only your life change, but see the generational impact. See the momentum build in your house. We're not going to be a church of 9%, right? 9% where one out of 10 people turn up. We're going to be a church that makes a decision today saying, I want to turn up. Why? Because I know it's going to cost me. I know I have to give something up, or I know I have to like do this or do that. But I want to pursue Jesus. And I'm not saying that you can't have a Sunday away, okay? Don't get me wrong. You can have a Sunday away. If you're on holiday, go on holiday. But I'm talking about neglecting church. Neglecting the gathering of saints. This year is about momentum. Does that make sense? That's everything. This literally all downloaded last night. I feel so much better now. Lord, we thank you. Father, when we like think about your goodness, we just can't even fathom it. And we just thank you for what you have in store for this house this year and for us as individuals. I pray that any biases in us, challenge it. If there's anything in us that is not of you, challenge it. If there are things that are taking us away from being close to you, I pray, Holy Spirit, challenge it. We don't want to be the people of last year or people that once was. We don't want to be the powerless church because we're not powerless. We have you. And so, Father, I pray you challenge the things that are in us that need to be challenged so that we can move forward into our destiny that you called us to be in. And so, Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, reveal those things so that we may move forward. I pray that if there's any bitterness, unforgiveness, or anything that is in us that is untoward someone else, Lord God, we pray that we'll be people who forgive, people who let go and hand to you because of what you have in store for us this year. And so, Father, we give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, 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 amen. Amen.